This week, you probably noticed our series that we're going through is called The Big Three. And so for us at Westgate Chapel, we are taking a new chapter, driving towards three main ways of connecting into our church body. Attending a worship service, getting plugged into a life group, and serving, whether it's in the church, locally, in the world around us, etc. But those are the big three. And this is going to be more than just a sermon series. And so if you're here today and you're thinking, oh, this is just another sermon series, it is a sermon series, but it's a sermon series that is launching something new at our church. This is going to be a fixture that's in place for years to come, saying, Westgate Chapel, we are valuing these three ways of getting plugged into the church body. And so we wanted to just kind of highlight them because they're going to be a thing that's going to be talked about and be around Westgate Chapel for years to come. And so last week we discussed worship service and why we need to be a part of a corporate body. And this week we're going to be talking about kind of the next steps from that. And really, I don't know if you've had this problem, but sometimes you come to a worship service and you can kind of get just stuck there, right? Like you get plugged, you're attending service, but then how do you make those more intimate relationships? And you can kind of hit a wall pretty quick. And so for us to really engage in this close-knit Christian community, we need to get to a smaller scale. And for us, life groups is that smaller scale place for us to do life together here at our church. And so you might be thinking, Mike, hasn't Westgate been doing life groups for a long time in our church? Yeah, we've been doing life groups for a while. We've done different types of groups that kind of have the same kind of idea, maybe different names, et cetera, for years now. But what's happening right now with the big three is Westgate is going from saying life groups is a place to get plugged in to saying life groups is the place to get plugged in community at Westgate Chapel. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. And now some of you might be hearing me say life group a bunch of times, and you're like, okay, Mike, I'm new. I don't know what a life group is. And so let me just kind of quickly explain what a life group is so we're all on the same page. It's a small group of people, 8 to 14 or so, that meets together on a regular basis, either every week or every other week, to get together and to study God's word together, to talk about how it applies to their life, and to dig through scripture together and study it. Very practical time in the Bible together doing that. As well, it's a place for us to share life together. And so every week there'll be prayer requests where people get to share and talk about what's going on. There will likely be other opportunities for the group to do life together through events or other things that take place. The group wants to get together and cook out at someone's house, etc. And really the goal of life group is that the people that you're in a life group with would begin to feel like family to you, that they would be the people that you would call your closest knit family here in the church. And so that's kind of what life groups are. And so today's service is going to be pretty unique. It's going to be two parts. The first part, I'm going to be talking about why life groups. What is God's call for us to be in close-knit biblical community? We're going to talk about that. And then the second part, I'm actually going to bring up Pastor Rob, and he and I are going to share with you a little bit about what's coming up down the pipeline here at Westgate Chapel, some vision about things to come. So you guys are informed, and you guys are a part of the things that are happening here at the church. We're really excited about this. And so part one, why life groups? God's call in our lives to be in a close-knit Christian community. And so similar to last week, I want to handle this topic by looking at a biblical model of, I think, what the scripture is saying a close-knit community should look like. And then we're going to kind of walk through that one chunk at a time and see some of the highlights, some of the qualities that we find in scripture and how those apply to us in life groups. And so let's go ahead and open up your Bibles with me, if you haven't, to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And we're going to work through Paul's instruction about what a church community should look like. And so we're going to read the passage as a whole, and then we're going to take it one chunk at a time together. So let's read that. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whoops. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what should a close-knit Christian community look like? Again, we're going to talk about three qualities. And the first quality we're going to talk about, and I think that Paul is encouraging us towards, is bearing one another. bearing one another. And as it works out, these three qualities are going to kind of sort of relate to our three vital relationships with the church: community with believers, intimacy with God, and influence with unbelievers. And so the first one kind of correlates with community with believers. And so we see this come out pretty clear here in verses 12 and 13. So let's just kind of read that together one more time. Paul says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Now catch this: bearing with one another. And I want to start with the last words we just read, with the phrase bearing with one another. Sometimes people hear the word bear and they think of one of the word's definitions, which is to tolerate something, right? And so people might think, like, you know, getting a root canal at the dentist is more than I can bear, you know, or listening to country music is a lot to bear. You know what I'm saying? I actually kind of like country music, but I know some people have some pretty strong opinions about it. And so we might be tempted to read this verse as Paul is telling us to, we might be tempted to read it as, you know, we should tolerate one another, but I don't think that's what Paul was saying. I think a better way to read this is when we look at the Greek, we see that the word here is anecho. Let's get a little throat in there. Anecho. And the primary definition of this word is to hold up. To hold up. And so I think a better way in context is to say that we are called to hold up one another. We're called to support one another. And so if Pastor Rob came up on stage right now and I picked him up and I threw him over my shoulders, I would be bearing Pastor Rob. So Rob, would you just come up real quick and just join me on stage? Wouldn't you guys love to see that though? Wouldn't that just be the best church service? We got a clap coming. But I think that's a good picture for us to think about this morning. Because if we're honest with ourselves, there are times in each of our lives where we need other people to help carry us. There are times when we can't make it on our own. There's times when we need help. You know, when we lose a loved one, when we lose a job, when something tragic happens and we have no idea what to do about it, when we're in over our heads and we're just totally stressed out. And so as we look at this passage, Paul is saying that we as a church need, as brothers and sisters, need to hold each other up through seasons of difficulty. And also, I think he would say, through seasons when things are going well. Right? We need people to come around us and celebrate with us our victories in life. We need people to help keep us centered on God's word in all seasons and his truth so that we don't get broken down along the way. We need people to keep on holding us up in accountability and to living with integrity so that we don't ever enter into sin, right? This is a picture, I think, that he's talking about with us in the church. And it's our job to do this, to receive this from other people, but it's also our job to give this to others as well. We need to be people that are willing to do this for others. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Right? If we're going to follow God's word, this is something that is biblical for us in our lives. This isn't a one-way street. This is something that we all need to be giving and we all need to be taking, because we can't do this alone. We all need each other. And so how do life groups fit into this? Life groups are a great way to experience this community that Paul's talking about. And there's several reasons why. I'm just going to mention a couple. First of all, they're made up of other people who are interested in the same sort of biblical community, right? And so just right off the bat, you take a group of people who are like-minded saying, you know what, I want to be a part of that sort of group that's holding each other up, and I want to do that with each other. And so they're a great place in that regard. Secondly, they're small enough for everyone to be supported in. You know, the picture that Paul's painting for us of everyone carrying each other is something that can happen on some level with a church group this size, but the reality is it can happen to a much, much greater degree when we take it to a smaller scale and where people can actually can be known and seen in that place, right? And so in order for everyone to be carried, everyone first needs to be known. And so we need a group that is small enough for everyone to realistically get to know each other. We need to be a part of places like that. And so a group like a life group is a perfect place for that. Every time a life group meets, there are several opportunities for people to share what's going on in lives, right? There's times where there's casual hangouts where people are just talking, catching up, you know, doing life before a group starts, or maybe in a social event. There's times when, you know, during the study, when we're processing through God's word and we're just applying them, we're saying, you know, this intersects with my life like this. Let me just share about this. There's time during prayer requests where we're saying, you know what, what's going on? And everybody just has a platform to say, would you join me in celebration and prayer and helping me through these things. And so it's really just a natural path for a small group to come and to be known and to share together. And tied to that, I think, is it's a great place for a Christian accountability to be taking place as well, and providing that support. And then the last thing I'd mention is that life groups are a great way for this because they meet regularly. In order for Paul's picture to come to fruition, the people involved with it need to be really spending time together. They need to be getting together on a regular basis. And so here at Westgate, in general, most of our groups meet either every single week or they meet every other week, and they do that ongoingly. Additionally, like I said earlier, groups have different social events oftentimes where they can do life together. Or maybe they just have, because you're building relationships with each other, what happens is that sometimes people will just say, hey, Steve, would you come along with me? I'm going to do this thing this weekend. It'd be fun if you just wanted to do life with me over here. Or, you know, let's do X, Y, or Z together. And just like life is happening together. And they're just doing it often. Another thing that I just note here is that in order for this close-knit community to really take shape, they need to be filled with people who are willing to make them a priority. And frankly, this can be a hard thing for people in our culture to do. The author of Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says, he talks about the problem and he says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You know, the cold reality is that just like in the New Testament, there are people today in our church who struggle with making this close-knit community a priority in their lives. Whether we realize it or not, they're allowing things to become more important, right? You know, sometimes people say we make time for the things that are important to us, you know? And so what can happen is that we allow our schedules, whether it's intentional or unintentional, to kind of fill up with other things. And sometimes those things are good things, sometimes those things are not so good things. But I think Paul is saying you should really prioritize something like life group. And maybe that means setting some of these other things aside so that you can prioritize and really experience that and make that a priority in your life. Yeah. And so in summary for this first point, our church's goal is that every member of every life group would know without a shadow of a doubt that they are being a part of a group where everyone is there for each other, holding each other up, bearing each other. And so as I wrap up this first part of the message, I just want you to think right now and ask yourself these two questions. First question, who are the people in your life that are holding you up? Do you have 6 to 10 other people that you know are going to be there for you? I think Paul's saying that we should have that. And then secondly, who are the people in your life that you are holding up? Do you have 6 to 10 other people who you are committed to supporting through every season in life, right? We need these relationships, church. And so with that, let's take a look now to the second quality of close-knit community. And that is that we should be, as a church in small groups, growing in Christ together. And this kind of ties with that intimacy with God value that our church has. And so sometimes when we think about growing in our relationship with Christ and exploring this intimacy, we think about it as something that happens kind of like in seclusion, far away from people, by ourselves, in this kind of intimate space where it's just God and ourselves. And I think that's a viable way to pursue intimacy with God in this growing part of your relationship. But I think that there is also, and we see it here in the passage, a place where God is saying, you know what, you can also accomplish this. And in some ways, you can accomplish it even better when you're with other brothers and sisters and you're doing life together and this growing is happening in that community as well. And so I think we see this in verses 15 and 16. So let's look at those one more time together. And we'll start just with verse 15. Paul says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." And so he's reminding us here that when we put our faith in God, we as the body of Christ entered into a personal relationship with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this verse, he is charging us to allow Christ's peace to rule in our hearts. And he's saying, you know, as a body, you all need to trust in God. You all need to give control over to him. You need to find refuge in him, and you need to draw close to him. And then you will all experience the peace of God that comes when you surrender. This picture of growing in intimacy and experiencing this peace of God together. And then he ramps into verse 16 and he says this, and I really want us to focus on this verse today. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." I love this verse because it paints a clear picture of what it looks like to grow in Christ together. And he kind of gives it some very distinct images, right? And the first thing that he says is that we should let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's an interesting thing to say. Like, I don't hear people talk about that very often. What does he mean by that? And he's kind of saying this picture that the word of God in your life, in your communities, needs to be residing there. Like, it's taking up residence. Like, it's a structure that is stable, that is key, that is grounded, that is a part of what that looks like. And he's saying the word of God needs to be that in your lives. It's a pretty cool picture. And then he goes on and he explains very practically what it means to have that happen. And he gives two pieces here. He says, first, we should be teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, right? And what he's saying is we should teach each other the word of God and what it looks like to apply it in our lives. And I think this happens a couple ways. I think this could look like a brother and a sister sitting down talking about the scripture together, maybe in a group, maybe in a pair, in some sort of capacity, right? So there's that teaching and studying and learning together. And then there's also this piece where he says, in admonishing one another. And I think he's saying that as a church, sometimes we have to have conversations with other people and say, you know what, your life and the Bible aren't looking the same. And I want to, as a brother or sister, walk through this with you, figuring out what does it look like to get more on track with that. And so there's this teaching and admonishing piece. And then secondly, there's this other part, which is talking about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God. And there's this one's pretty self-explanatory. We talked about it a little last week, this idea of worshiping God together and singing biblical truths together and scriptural truths together. And as I was preparing this sermon, this verse struck me more than any other verse. And the reason why is this. When I think about the American church today, I think that there's a lot of Christians who are willing to get behind the second part of the verse, you know, where they're saying, you know what, we're going to study the word together, we're going to engage in the word together, we're going to celebrate the word together, and we're going to do that through worship. And for a lot of us, that's like our comfort zone. It's singing and doing that, and it feels safe. We're in a group of people, et cetera. And so we feel comfortable with that. But I think there's a lot less people in the American church today who feel comfortable teaching and admonishing one another in the word of Christ. And I think it's interesting to process why that is. And I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons. You know, maybe people feel nervous about hurting someone's feelings, or they don't feel qualified, right, to teach the Bible or to share about the Bible. Or maybe they just don't care enough about, this sounds kind of callous, but I think it's true, not callous, but, you know, just to the point. Maybe they just don't care enough about the other person to have that truth-centered conversation. You know, like, that could be difficult. I don't know if that's comfortable for me, so I'm just going to not do that, you know? And I think what Paul's saying here, and the thing I really want us to all like just sit on and think about today, is the reality that all of us are called to disciple one another. We are all called to help each other grow in their understanding of the word and how it applies to our lives. And I think sometimes we have this misconception that, you know whose job that is? That's the pastor's job. That's the elder's job. That's some other, you know, 30-year-old Christian, or like for somebody who's been a Christian for 30 years' job. But what Paul's saying is, hey, church body, this is something that each one of you is supposed to be doing with the lives of the people who are around you, growing and teaching each other and admonishing one another and doing this thing together. And so I want us right now to just ask ourselves, have you accepted this responsibility? Is this something that you are doing as a regular part of your lives? And maybe today, this is something that the Lord's saying, you know what, I want you to do more of that in your lives. And so how does life groups fit into this? How does it exhibit this teaching and all this other stuff? And I think sometimes as we look at life groups, we can, or just even this principle, we can think, wow, man, teaching and admonishing, that sounds draining. And that's not something I want to be a part of. I want to stay away from that. But with life groups, I actually think this is one of my favorite things about being involved with a life group, because it's an opportunity for us to grow in a fun and healthy way together in what we understand in our looking views of the Bible. You know, for me, one of the best things about any life group gathering is those moments when the different people are teaching each other, not just like the leader teaching the group, but like when somebody who's just attending the group says and has this moment with the Lord where the Lord is, you know, welling up some sort of revelation for them about, you know, how this applies to their lives. And they say, you know what, I just really feel like this is happening. This is something God wants for us. And they begin teaching, if you will, the other group members. And then all of a sudden another group member says, you're right, I really connect with what you said. And then that applies to their lives. And there's this picture of the group growing together. That's so cool. And I love that, seeing that happen. That's a great example of this in action. And another really cool thing that I think happens at life groups and how this studying and growing in the word is that I love the opportunity that it has just for just naturally for kind of the more mature and seasoned believers who've been maybe studying the Bible for years to kind of get to help model and show the younger believers who maybe haven't been doing it as much what it looks like to actually really dig into scripture and how to apply it to their lives. And so there's this really cool life on life growing and discipling each other that takes place. There's a lot more I could discuss, but I just want to quickly jump to the third part here. And that is that we are called in intimate community, in close-knit community, to be serving God together, right? And this kind of sort of ties in with our core value of influence with unbelievers. Now, I'm going to intentionally not talk about this one very much because Pastor Rob's going to be giving a whole week next week on our third item of the big three, which is serving. But I think there's some cool applications to life groups that I just want to mention very quickly. And so let's read Colossians 3:17 together. And says this, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Right? Everything we do in our lives should be done in service to the King. Everything we do should be done in a spirit of giving thanks to God. And I know that this is incredibly broad, but I want us to hear this morning as we wrap up this section of scripture that Paul closes it out by talking about serving the King as a part of our daily lifestyles. And just like I shared with you last week, Philippians 1:27, Paul is charging the church in Philippi in that verse. He says this, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Church, we're supposed to be serving God together. We're supposed to be doing life and living out our faith together. And being a part of a life group is an excellent way to do this in our church body, right? As a small group, you get together. You can talk about and encourage each other. Hey, where are you serving? How's that going? You know, and we can encourage each other in that to be taking more steps in that. And so there's that element. But secondly, there's a lot of cool opportunities for the life group members to actually come around and tackle projects and serve and do ministry, good ministry together as a group. You know, we have some groups at our church that meet together once a month off of their life group weeks. And they say, you know, let's go serve here together and let's be a part of this ministry together. We have other groups that get involved with Church in the Streets, and they say, you know, we want to do this thing together every year as a group. And I'd love to see this becoming more a part of our DNA at our church, where life groups are not just talking and growing together over here, but that they're going out and serving together as well. And I'll let Pastor Rob kind of talk more about all this serving next week. And so, church, I hope you're seeing why being a part of a life group is such a great thing. I've heard countless stories of life transformation taking place through them. I've heard countless stories of amazing Christian community taking place through them. And I'm lucky personally to have been able to walk through some of this myself. And so as we wrap up this part of the message this morning, what I want to do is just take a moment and share with you my favorite life group experience that I've been a part of, because what I think it does is it hopefully will help you just kind of see how all these things come together into one beautiful picture that I think the Lord is directing us towards. And so my favorite life group that I've been a part of was a men's life group back in Phoenix, Arizona. And so for the 2 years leading up to my kind of coming to work at Westgate Chapel, I was working basically as an associate pastor at a church multi-site in Phoenix. And so we had just kind of been launching the group launching the church site. And with that, we were building life groups at that site. And so I had this opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to start a men's life group at our church. And so we invited the whole church congregation and we said, church, would you guys come out to a men's life group on Thursday nights? And this was a very interesting experience for me. And so that Thursday night rolled around and I'm there and I'm not sure that anybody's going to come, but the group that started one by one walking through the door was one of the most eclectic and unusual like groups of people. And here's what I mean by that. This group, first of all, was notably extremely multi-generational, right? And so for me, this was kind of a newer thing, but this group had people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and even our oldest member was 82. And we had men that were like evenly spread throughout that. We had about 16 guys, and so there's just like a couple guys from each age bracket, and we all just showed up together. Secondly, this group was kind of interesting because it was very multicultural, right? Phoenix is a diverse place, and so we had guys from every ethnicity, every background, every skin color that came together on this Thursday night Bible study to do life together. And then thirdly, this was interesting, is that we had guys from every income bracket there as well. We had guys, one guy was a dentist who was clearly doing well, you know, financially. One guy who was clearly in poverty, and we had everything in the middle of that. And so I remember as I was sitting in the room watching these guys come in, just thinking, how is this ever going to work, you know? Like by the world standard, these people have nothing in common. Like this would never be like a group of Christian community or brothers or this wouldn't happen, right, in the world standards. But let me tell you, that night, the Lord started a fire in our community. He started a community that was about to take off, and it was the Holy Spirit at work. And I remember by the end of the first night, and we're sharing, we're going through the Bible, I remember when that first man said, you know what? I need your guys' help because I have this addiction in my life and I need brothers to walk through this with me. And that set a tone in our group for the next 2 years as we would be journeying through life together. And so every single week we'd come back together, we'd meet at the church. We studied over the course of years. We studied together through several different books of the Bible, verse by verse. We all learned from each other. Like, it was so cool having the older guys and the younger guys there because we all had different wisdom and insight to bring into every situation. And so we were able to do that thing where we were discipling each other. One of the other things I really loved about this group is that we really did life together well. One of my favorite moments would be when we'd roll into Applebee's after going to Bible study. And people, I feel like, would just turn their heads and be like, how do those guys all know each other? You know, like what? Who are these people? And they're sitting at a table together and they're laughing and they're like, what? This doesn't make any sense. Like, this would never happen. This doesn't make sense. It's so weird. But you know what, guys? It didn't feel weird to us because we were brothers. And we grew as brothers, and that was our life together. We did cookouts at each other's houses. We supported each other and things that were going on. It was brotherhood. One of the coolest ways that we really saw this come into fruition was that our group did a really good job of helping to carry each other's burdens. You know, sometimes it was simple stuff, like a guy had car problems, and so other guys helped him figure out that stuff. But maybe one of the coolest things I saw happen is when our group came around much bigger issues. One of the guys had a significant weight problem that was in our group. And when I say a significant weight problem, I mean like for him, walking a mile was like a huge, crazy workout that I'm not sure he could even do. And so for him, we supported him spiritually. We talked with him, we prayed with him, we processed with him. But our group did more than that. As it turned out, we had two other guys that were super fitness guys and that worked out all the time. And they said, you know what, brother? And if you looked at these guys next to each other, you'd be like, how are these guys even ever talking to each other? Because they're just so different ends of the spectrum. But they said, you know what? I want to help you with this. And so they came up with workout plans. They figured out that this guy who was struggling with his weight had a passion for being outside. And so they're like, let's figure out a way that you can use hiking as a part of your exercise. Because we actually have hills and or mountains in Phoenix, right? And that was really cool. But the best part about it wasn't just that they didn't say, just go and do that. They said, you know what? We as a group are going to support you in this. And so every Saturday morning, we're all going to go and we're going to meet up at these trailheads and we're going to work out together. We're going to go hiking together. It's going to be fun in community. But they said, you know what, brother? We're not going to leave you on your own in this. We're going to kind of hold you up as we're talking about, and we're going to go through this together. Church, it was so cool watching these men get together throughout the week, carrying each other in this way. And perhaps for me, the most memorable night of our group together is, and this was right before I came back to Westgate Chapel and started working here. There was this one night where one of the guys in the room was just going through something really heavy on his heart. And as he was sharing, he started tearing up. He started crying. And I remember just kind of processing that. And one of the coolest moments is when I looked around the room as this man was sharing, I watched as there was tears coming in the eyes of the other men because they cared about their brother and they cared what he was going through. And they were there with him emotionally, spiritually, etc. And I just thought, wow, this is brotherhood. Church, this group meant a lot to me. It was a big part of my life, and it was, frankly, it was transformative in my understanding of what the multicultural, what the church body is supposed to look like. People supporting each other, people studying the word together, living together, living life together, crying together, laughing together, being a family together. In fact, I would say that I know many people today who would call their life group, say that their life group family feels and acts more like a family to them than their real families do. And that's the Holy Spirit at work, bringing all sorts of different people together into one spiritual family. And it's amazing. And so here at Westgate Chapel, we believe that God wants us each to get plugged into a community like this. And I know that many of you are already plugged into a community like this, and that's awesome. But I also know that there's probably even a greater percentage of you who are not plugged into a community like this. And so I really want you to consider right now if you would be willing or interested in being a part of something like this. And so right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up Pastor Rob, and we're going to talk about some of the ways that we're going to be launching and growing and developing life groups at our church and some other related adult ministries. Thank you, Rob, for coming on up and joining me. So, Rob, anything that you want to share with the church right now, just as we're kind of coming off the heels of talking about life groups, any sort of your heart with that?
Yeah. You know, as I listened to Mike share this morning, just about what God's word says about what intimate community is and what it looks like, I'm struck by the fact that the vision that we have when it comes to being a church of small groups, I'm struck by the fact that when I look at the culture we live in today, and even our church culture, is that there are so many people that feel alone. When you look at the statistics that talk about what goes in our world, we are some of the busiest people in our world. We are constantly running in America from one thing to the next thing. And what happens when we fill our lives with so much stuff, like Mike talked about during his message, is that often what happens is we know each other a little bit, and yet the depth of relationship never grows. And when you look at studies, and not just look at studies, but when you hear testimonies of people in the church talking, one of the common things that we hear all the time is, I know a lot of people, but I feel so lonely. I feel so disconnected. And that's not only in the church, but that's throughout our entire culture. And the vision that we have as a church really stems from the fact that that's not the way that God designed his church to function. When we look in Acts chapter 2 at the very inception of the early church, we see that the design in its perfection and its first created moment was radically different than what most of us experience in the church today. Yeah. Listen to this. You've heard it before. In Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 44 that all those, remember 3,000 had been added to the church number after Peter's incredible sermon that he had given. And it says that all those who had believed were together, and they had everything in common. And they began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord continued to add to their number day by day. The picture that we see here of the early church in its inception is a church body that isn't just doing what often happens in our culture today. I go to church, I show up on Sunday morning, I glad hand a few people, I say hi, I do my thing, and then I go back out with a great message, a little bit of songs, to live my life by myself, running my rat race, only to come back and try to fill up just a little bit if I can. The early church had it right. They were doing life together. They were meeting in each other's homes. They were encouraging each other, challenging each other, studying God's word together, worshiping together, and truly doing life. And this is the way that God designed his church to be. And yet it seems in our culture today, especially in our churches, that we have gotten away from that design. That we see this place and building as a place to just come and to do our own individual worship, but maybe not to truly do life together. And when we do church that way, we miss the point of what God desired for his church to be. A place where not only do we gather to worship, but we mutually encourage each other and challenge each other and hold one another accountable as we all pursue Christ together. And I want you to hear this, because really the vision behind this idea of life groups is that we desire as a leadership to become a church that doesn't just have life groups. So we don't want to just be a church with life groups, right? You hear about churches go, oh yeah, we have a life group ministry. What we really desire to be is a church of life groups, a church that is getting smaller and smaller into community with one another, so that there is not a single person in this room that walks in with so many people around them and yet feels lonely, yeah, feels insignificant, or feels as though they don't have those people in their life that are challenging them and encouraging them and pushing them to grow deeper in Jesus Christ. We want to be a church of life groups. And if you look at Westgate Chapel today, we've got a fair number of life groups that are going on. I'm part of one. It is such an incredible part of mine and Rochelle's life to have those people that speak truth into our life, where we can worship together and truly do life together, not just when we meet in a small group, but at all times throughout the week. It's incredible. We have a lot of groups like that, but there are a lot of people here at Westgate Chapel that are not connected in that way. And the question I would have you think about is one that Mike asked just a few minutes ago. Is there a step that you need to take in order to get yourself involved in the type of community that is described here in God's word? Are you one of those people that maybe that you come here every single week or occasionally, and maybe you know a lot of people, but you feel lonely? Hmm. You feel like you don't have those people that are pushing you to grow deeper in Christ. My challenge to you would be to take that step of saying, how can I get connected with other people? And as a church, we want to facilitate that, that we would all be in true community with one another. You know, we have some exciting things that are coming up. And Mike, why don't you share with us just a little bit of how we're going to be moving forward as a church and kind of fixing and rebuilding some systems to help people get connected.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been working hard since I stepped in this role in January just to kind of be thinking through the systems and organization and all those pieces. And so and building a new framework so that we can be set up for success as we launch into new life groups starting this January. And that is a key part of the announcement today, really, is that in January, in February of next year, we are going to be launching new groups. We're going to be doing sign-ups to ramp up to that. We want to create every platform for you to get involved with one of these groups. We'll have those mixed multi-generational groups, kind of like what I was talking about earlier. We'll have men's groups, women's groups, groups for families with young children so that we can figure out the childcare component and how the kids fit into that, et cetera. So there'll be a spot for everyone.
Yeah. And you know what I love about what Mike is talking about? We've got a lot of groups in this church. Like we've launched a few new young marriage groups as of recently, which we're kind of booming in that area right now with small groups, which is great. We've got groups for every age demographic, but I really want to emphasize the idea of a multi-generational life group.
Yes.
I would love to see our church body move just beyond saying I can only connect with people in my life stage. It is important to do that. There are certain things that we share together, but there is so much as a body for us to learn when we gather together with people that are in different age demographics and that have different experiences from us because they've lived more life and we can learn and grow from one another. And so we really want to emphasize that as well, that, you know, we would love for you, younger generation, older generation, to consider coming together as one body to learn and to grow together. There's much that we have to offer to each other, and that's the way God designed his church. Now, in order for us to move in this direction, there are two things that are super important. We need our church body, number one, to buy in. We need people here that call Westgate Chapel home to say, this is something that I believe in and I want to be a part of because it's what God desires for us to be in this type of community. Not just because of what I can get out of it for myself, but because of what God has called me to pour into other people as well. But secondly, we need people to raise up and say that we would be willing to be leaders. And we really want to emphasize this aspect of leadership development here at Westgate Chapel, especially in the area of life groups. We need people that are willing to say, I will step up and be someone who leads a group. Now, that can be a fearful thing. We all of a sudden think, you know, when you hear that, uh-oh, I've got to have a seminary degree and in order to lead a group like that. Well, Mike, would you share with us just a little bit about this leadership component?
Yep. When we look at life group leaders, we see their role in two ways. One, their role is to be a spiritual leader of the group to kind of help direct and navigate maybe some direction of where the group's going, to help be there for other people as they come in need, et cetera. So there's a spiritual kind of leadership piece. But secondly, there's also a piece of facilitation involved. So helping to keep the group going, to stay on track, et cetera. And so those are really the two pieces that are part of that. Now, a lot of times people get worried, you know, just as Rob was talking about becoming a life group leader, because they think things like, well, I need to be able to write graduate level Bible lessons like Pastor Rob and use big words like he does. Or they think, you know, I need to have the pastoral charm of Glenn Lewis and just all that charm and be personable like him. And they think, you know, I have to wear skinny jeans like Adam Burrow.
No, do not do that.
Yeah.
That is not a requirement.
Don't do that, please.
We love you, Adam.
We love you, Adam, wherever he's at. His jeans aren't too tight today. That's good. Sorry. Church, those are not part of the... Adam's going to kill me later. Church, these are not part of what it means to be a life group leader, right? This is a people who are saying, you know, I'm going to help shepherd, I'm going to help champion, but they don't have to be all these like master's level complicated things, right? That's not who you have to be. And so there's nothing to be scared about in that. I will also say that we're going to be supplying resources for these leaders, right? We're going to give them curriculum resources, so things to be studying through. Even as our church, we're going to build church-wide curriculum for a few sermon series throughout the year so we can all be growing in things together. We're going to give you coaches so that you have somebody to come alongside of you and journey through this with you. We're going to provide leader trainings for people throughout the year. And so I really want you to hear that there's going to be lots of just like equipping. You're not going to be alone in this. It's not a scary place to be. And even if you are saying, you know, this is maybe just too much for me right now, you can also become an assistant leader and kind of be training towards being a leader. And so there's really a lot of opportunities there to lead. And I'll be honest, as we talk about launching life groups more at a bigger way at our church, one one of the things that most churches struggle with isn't getting people to want to go to life groups. That's easy, right? There's always, and even since in the last years at Westgate, there's always been people who want to get more involved with the life group. The problem is that we don't have enough people who are willing to say, you know what, I'll help lead a group. I'll help shepherd a group. I'll help facilitate conversation. And, you know, I'll give an extra, you know, few minutes every week before we meet to help organize that. There's just not a ton of people that are willing to do that. And so right now, I really want you to consider whether or not the word might be saying, you know what, I want you to step into this role coming into this new season as a church. And then if you are feeling like that might be a place, we're going to be having a leader meeting, a leader interest meeting, a key word there, on October 14th after second service in the chapel. It's just going to be a quick meeting. We'll have some lunch there provided for you just to hear about what does it mean to be a life group leader? What's going on with that? And again, this is just a safe place to come and learn more. You're not signing up for anything. And we really just want you to come, if you're even thinking about it, to join us that day.
Yeah. And one of the other things I want to acknowledge too, because when we start talking about being a church of life groups, I want to acknowledge right first and foremost that there's a lot of people that that's intimidating to, especially people that are newer to a church. They think, oh, getting into a life group and just kind of quickly jumping in, that feels a little bit too intimate for me to do, to just kind of start opening up and sharing my life. And we like to look for those intermediate places. I mean, we've connected people in life groups quickly before. You know, we kind of did the speed dating thing where we throw a bunch of people together, let them get to know each other and try to form a group. We've tried other things where churches will say, you know what, if you just call up a life group leader that we have posted on our website, you can go and check this group out and start connecting. But sometimes that's just a little bit too intimate and scary, to be honest, for people to take that step. And so we as a church recognize that we also need to have intermediary steps for people to begin to get to know others. One of the most difficult things is to walk through this church on a weekly basis and feel like nobody knows you.
Yep.
And to feel like you don't really know anybody else. You know, I've had conversations with people that have been in this church for a long time that have shared with me that they've been here for years, and they feel that way when they walk through the building. They feel like maybe there's a lot of people that know of them, but they don't really know them. And so one of the steps that we are taking is that we have always had on our Sunday mornings, we've had Sunday morning communities where people can get into classes, which one of the great emphasis of those classes is to get together and to study God's word, to grow in our intimacy with him. But it's also been kind of an intermediary platform for us where it's a mid-sized group in a non-threatening way where you can come and begin to meet people and get to know people. And what we really desire to do, and you're going to hear, and Mike's going to share a little bit about this, is that we want to expand this to create more environments and more opportunity for people to study God's word on different topics, to continue to grow in their relationship with the Lord, but also where we can begin to get to know people and build relationships that can move us toward a small group environment. And so, Mike, share with us a little bit about the classes in just a couple weeks that we're going to be launching to add to our current communities.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to be launching classes starting in just a couple weeks, September 26th on Wednesday nights, and September 30th on Sunday mornings at our church. And notice I said those times because those are times for a lot of us that were already at church. You know, maybe you come first service and attend service, and then second service you want to attend a class, or maybe you have children that are in the children or student ministries program. And so during that time, you can come and you can be a part as an adult at our church in one of these classes. And it's just really, it makes it easy for you to do that. And so these classes, we have just a lot of different things coming up that I think are going to be cool ways for you to engage. That learning piece, but also that relationship piece. And so if you'll see in your worship guide this morning, you'll see a card that looks something like this. And in it, you'll find information about the classes we have going on. This is just a partial list. We have actually much more listed on a handout that's at the table where you can sign up today in the main entrance. But some of the classes that we have going on Wednesday nights, we're going to be having a four-week membership class that's going on to learn more about the CMA and maybe becoming a member at our church. And this is kind of the first step in becoming a member. We also have a really cool class called Work as Worship that's going to be offered. Glenn Lewis and Steve Parrish are going to be going through this class. It's a video-driven class, but it's like high-level leaders in the business world and in different elements, different places in life, where they're talking about how do our faith and our work and our job 9 to 5, how do those things come together and intersect? Super cool, very practical. Love for you guys to get involved with that. Sunday mornings, we have a class called Financial Peace, which is just a classic Dave Ramsey video series. Many people in our church have already gone through it, but it's such a huge transformative thing that we want to offer this at our church to learn how do you manage your money well? How do you set yourself up for success? There's a big lack of training on this in our world today. And so we would love for you to go and sign up to be a part of that class during the 9 a.m. service. Additionally, we'll have a parenting class called Managing Emotional Mayhem, where we're going to be exploring how emotions can sometimes get maybe out of hand. done in the household, both with parents and with and their children. Talking about how do we work through that and tackle that and grow in those areas in the household. Very, very cool class. I think you'll really enjoy being a part of that. And so that's an option as well. And then lastly, during the second hour on Sundays, we're going to be offering a class called Foundational Christian Beliefs. And so this is a class that's really for two groups of people. We're going to be talking to people who maybe are newer to their faith and saying, you know what, I'm still trying to figure out what Christianity is. How does the Trinity work? How does free will work? How does, what's all this deal with the end times? You know, what do you mean when Christ died on the cross for our sins and all the layers of that and justification and some of these words that we use as a church? And so there's an exploring piece, but there's also a really great platform. And I can't encourage you enough. If you are a person who's been in church even for a long time, we're going to dig deep into these topics. And I think there's a lot of us today that if somebody asked us, hey, would you explain the Trinity to me? Or would you explain Revelation to me? You might feel intimidated to answer them. And we're going to try to give you some tools on that as well. And so it's really for those groups of people. Sunday mornings at 10:45, starting September 30th.
Excellent. And you'll also see there's some other things that we're doing behind the scenes, because one of the things that we've recognized as a church is that sometimes our systems and our tools that we utilize in order to help people get connected have not been what we actually need in order to make sure that people don't fall through the cracks in that regard. We're actually going through right now the beginning stages of changing over even our church database system, which that sounds exciting, right? Moving from one program to one that's called Church Community Builder, which is going to enable us as a church body internally to make sure that things don't fall through the cracks, that we can more easily connect our church body with one another, but as well that we can get information out to you about how you can get connected. There are things associated with it, like phone apps that for our church yep. that you can utilize to sign up for events easily, to be a part of a life group and get connected, to a whole litany of different things. But we are working hard on this back end so that when we come to this launch of our life group system, that we are prepared to really run and help people get connected. If there's anything else that I could say to you this morning, it would just simply be this. God has designed for us as His church to be involved in this type of community with each other. And really, we do a disservice to ourselves and a disservice to our entire community when we refuse to engage, when we prioritize so many other things in our life from allowing ourselves to get involved in this type of community. And as your pastor, and Mike is your pastor as well, and all of our pastoral staff and the elders of this church, our challenge and our heartbeat for you is that we would grow deeper together. And the only way we can do that with this many people is to get into small environments where we can care for one another, love each other, study God's word together, and to continue to pursue Christ in all ways. And so be sure to dig deep with us. Mike, I just would ask you to kind of close out by sharing a little bit of the timeline that we're looking at yep. when it comes to helping to get people connected yep. in this way.
So just kind of in summary, church, so next Wednesday, or not next Wednesday, but Wednesday the 26th and Sunday the 30th, we're going to be launching our classes. So this is a way of connecting. October 14th is that interest meeting for life group leaders. And then coming in 2019, you're going to be hearing more about our new church community builder. You're going to hear more about signing up for life groups. And our prayer, and we're driving towards February, we will be launching these new life groups here at our church. So we're really excited about all that. So Rob, thank you so much for coming up. And so as we just wrap up our time together, church, I just want to close just by just one more time, just asking you in this moment right now, is there any place that the Lord is calling you to say, I want you to get more plugged in at? You know, whether it's your life group, whether it's your class, or maybe it's even bigger than that. It's saying, I want you to think about Christian community differently. I want you to grow in your idea and how you hold up other people. I want you to engage more in a community like that. And so before you leave today, I just encourage you to meet with the Lord in your seat and just have a conversation with Him about that. And then secondly, as we, I just forgot this down here, as before you leave today, I'd love it if everybody would take one of these. You'll see them on either end of your pews. And so if you would just kind of pass these down to the people around you. And if there's maybe a deficit, we can try to find some from other pews around. But we just want you, if you're an adult today and you're here worshiping with us, to fill out one of these cards. And as you fill it out, just kind of give us some information about life groups and what to expect as we're getting ready for launch so we can prepare accordingly. And so you can just fill these out and as a way of responding, and put them in one of the baskets by every single one of the doors. There's a basket on your way out to collect these before you go. So with that, let's pray, and we'll have our worship team come back and join us. Father God, we thank you so much for today. And we thank you for just the church body that we get to do life together. And Lord, right now, we just pray that you would be leading us and directing us towards community. For some of us, we've already been doing community well, Lord. And I pray that today would be an encouragement to keep on doing community the way we have been, and maybe even to take it a step further, Lord. But there are others in the room who might be feeling like they're struggling at feeling alone, or they're struggling if they don't have those relationships, or they're in different pieces there, Lord. And I pray right now that you'd be working on their hearts to say, you know, this is the next step that I want you to take, Lord. And Lord, let us be a church that as we are gathering and we are praying, Lord, that we would be willing to say yes to the steps that you're putting in our lives, Father. And so, Lord, right now, we just ask these things of you. Lead us and direct us as we come to worship. We ask this in your name. Amen.